Yes, Rob.
Hey Gavin, how are you?
Yeah, man, how are you?
Good, good. I'm only going to be able to join for the first half. I'm just jumped in the car, about to drive down to physio.
Oh, good, brother. Not a problem. What time is it with you? It's early morning, yeah?
8 a.m. Yeah, so I've just dropped the kids at school and heading to the morning physio.
Good man. What's the treatment you're getting?
Just neck and back. I just got I'll see you pretty regular. Just got some those compressed discs in my back, so I just give them some regular massage and some dry needling.
Okay,
I just find
intensive
if I
care
do
for you.
it, yeah. So at the moment, it's definitely not acute. So I find if I just keep on top of it, I just sort of part of my regular routine. I go to the physio every fortnight and just get a bit of a remedial massage and needling work when it starts to tighten up, and it just keeps on top of it.
Any specific areas on the, is it the neck and the low back?
So lower back has not been too bad. I just get tight along the spinal erectors, but I find my traps and up into my occipitals just to get pretty just regularly. And so right trap always just tends to seem to ball up.
I'm sure Andrew's
So
got a few bits lined in your program as well, but
we've had to notice some. When I've if I'm doing a lot of pull-ups, sometimes we had to tweak the form and go for a different handhold, or I was probably my positioning in the pull-up, whether I was sort of shrugging into it too much.
yeah.
And then a lot of that comes from I can almost tighten how much desk work I'm doing. When it's if it's neck and traps, a lot of it's hang on, have I been doing my sit stand, or I've been at the desk too much, or
Yeah, I get you, man. Keep us posted,
it's
bro.
funny. So often it's not the lifting the weight that does you, it's the sitting down for 8 hours.
Yeah, exactly. I used to get it where I was leaning at my desk. Now I've got my desk in my gym. And if I'm on calls back to back all day, I'll always get on the side that I'm leaning on the desk with, and shoulder shrug up into this position type of thing. And then I've just got to release my neck out, man. It's same thing. Well, might be a little bit different to yours. Obviously, yours is, seems to be an ongoing thing, but yeah, it's the sat down thing. I know you've heard Coach Greg or Coach Dan go on about a lot in terms of posture and how to start to position yourself throughout the day and stuff. He's done some good calls on that stuff as well. Boys, John's in the house. Lewis, Paul.
Hello.
Now, good evening, boys. Now, I know you're expecting Dan today, but you've got the not so good looking partner of the crew on tonight. Dan's in Portugal, so he's not able to jump on. They're even a further hour ahead than myself, so it's gone midnight for Dan. So I said I'd jump in and take the call for him today. So hopefully I can do it, do you some good service, boys. Let's see who else is coming in now. I'm just letting a few more people in. Paul, give us a while we're waiting for more people to come into the room. Why don't you give us a win on your last 7 days, man? Anything good happening in your end?
I accidentally lifted heavier on the leg press than I wanted to and didn't hurt myself.
Went heavier on leg press.
Yeah. I
Nice,
meant to
man.
do like 470, wound up putting on 490.
Nice, man. How many reps?
I think 8 for 2 sets. In the last set, I felt good enough to increase it to 500.
Yeah, boy.
I was able to get down there.
There we go. Little muscle cam coming at you there, man. That's good. Good work, man. Good for you. Good for you. Everything else moving okay? Feeling good with everything?
As much as it can.
Good work.
This week's a bit of a lull. Gym's closed, so I'm using the fitness center in my apartment complex, and yeah, that's different.
Gym's closed.
Electrical work is getting done for like
Oh,
the
okay.
4 days.
Got you. Okay. Yeah. The old apartment gyms don't do it justice there now. John, how are you doing, man? Any wins for you this past week?
Well, I told Ben that on Monday I was able to push my max weight up on my eight set, my top set by 5 pounds on all the exercises except for one.
Good man,
So,
what exercise was that?
well, I started doing, he was asking me, I started doing SS31 like 2 weeks ago. He was asking me if I'd seen any effects. And I said, I thought so. And then I wrote him after my workout on Monday. I said, well, I do remember this happening when I started taking it, and I saw it happening again as my weights are going up. What I'm able to lift is going up faster than I would have expected.
It's a big, it's just sometimes people think, is it working? Is it not? And then you start to analyze a few little bits and you notice things like that jump, like in effect in that way, especially exercise with something like a mitochondrial peptide like that, you just get that extra oomph, right? And it's not, and actually SS31 is probably one of the most researched in humans. Very good data on it, real good data actually. And especially at mitochondrial function, and across every organ as well. I think I did a one of the calls on this as well a while back, but across a lot of organs. So it's very, very good data. So you'll probably find it's one of the hardest to get hold of now, because I'd assume the FDA are probably going to mop that one up. Yeah, man. So I'm not surprised you're starting to make some good
And
progress.
then I had been saving some things I got from the BioLongevity sale before the end of December, and of a Tessa epamorelin mix. So I started that. I put it back in 2 nights ago, and like last night, I was when I woke up this morning, even though it was a short night, I still had like 2 hours and 15 minutes of deep sleep.
Nice, man.
So, I
Nice.
mean, we'll see how it continues.
Yeah. Have you got that? Is it a blend that you've got, or is
Yeah,
this just?
it's a blend. It's an A2 blend.
Got you. Okay. Yeah, man. That's that can do great wonders for sleep, obviously. Real good. Cool, man. So it sounds like you've got some recovery going on and you've got some energy production going on. Yet obviously recovery's if you're sleeping really well, obviously that's going to push recovery a little bit more, but obviously, you have to remember SS31, even though it's a mitochondrial thing, an energy production one, it could, by default, with improved mitochondria, help you sleep as well. So, man, that's good for you, man.
And when I started the Tessa, the blend, I'd done it in the morning. Great, that morning was good, and I decided, no, I'm going to do it at night before I go to bed. And that also gives me extra motivation not to snack in the evening.
Yeah, because obviously the,
You want the empty stomach.
Yeah, you want blood glucose low when you take something like that. So if you're going to use it, you want to be careful of that. So that cuts the calories down in the evening anyway. So it's a good one. Well done, man. Lewis, how you doing, brother?
Doing great. Can you
Good,
hear me?
man. Yep, I can hear you loud and clear
Now, finally, I just
now.
decided to leave the mic on all the time because I'm
Yeah.
quiet, but you guys have given me so much grief about not being able to get on the mic. So
Love it,
anyway,
man. Love it.
yeah, I've been adding some 157,
Yeah.
and it's been like I ended up like adding basically arginine as well, as like as a kind of a booster, and it seems to be working. So I'm finally getting some decent recovery because the amount of stress that I was facing, the past month has
Yeah.
been like really kind of like debilitating, if nothing else,
Yeah.
feeling like I can't get a complete workout in without being exhausted. So it seems to be working. So I'm
Is
pretty happy.
that from an injury standpoint, Lewis? Is it because obviously using PPC-157, yeah?
Yeah.
So is it more like joints and aches and pains that you're using it for, or is it like
Yeah.
energy production as well?
Well, because I have this shoulder impingement that I was working on, and we've been trying to end up like improving like the lat movement and all that kind of stuff. But it still was like, I would like get to doing a vertical lift and be like, oh, I'm gonna fall over. It's like I couldn't really, do much of anything. But since I've been taking this now, it's like the recovery is at least decent, so that I don't feel like I'm walking around for 2 days going like, oh shit, I can't move.
So are you injecting it into the joint itself just to give it that bit of recovery?
No, I've just been taking the capsules with the arginine, and it seems to be working.
The PPC arginate. Okay, so okay, man. So that's gonna have some good gut health effects more than anything.
Yeah.
So obviously that's gonna decrease inflammation there. That could be moving systemic as well. That's
Well,
good. That's
I was reading up on it. They kept saying that the 157 doesn't do as much for you if you're taking it, basically as a like in your stomach, that kind of thing, rather than an injection. But I just didn't want to end up like going through trying to end up like pulling that. So I had two different supplies of like one was a 157 blend and another one was a plane 157 that I gotten through, you know, basically a foreign source, shall we say. And but I like just basically set up, and I'm doing like half of what they suggest in terms of the arginine, because I have so many other medications and supplements that I'm taking that I thought, well, let's see if it actually has an effect before you start increasing the amount. So, and it seems to be working. So, you know.
Well, man, it's good. It's good to go. So, yeah. Okay, Jen. So we're going to be covering some burnout recovery frameworks that let you output, right? So who else is on the call? Actually, I think we've got some people in the who else is in? Rob's driving, so we'll leave him. Vihar's in as well, so he might be working at this time. Matt's is in somewhere as well. Okie doke. So we'll crack on. So we're looking at certain things that obviously cause burnout. So we're talking high achievers. That's all of us in this room. That's all of us that have got the cameras off as well. So high achievers that actually reach that burnout phase. Has anybody in this on this call actually had full burnout before we move on? Like a full burnout process.
How many times?
So, talk me through it, man. How did you feel through that?
Well, it just, you know, I mean, just felt like that, you know, it was like the decision was almost like, I got to give this up. I can't do any more than this. And it's just like, it's too painful. Everything else. It's interesting because I was in the gym today and there were in the sauna and there were two guys, one who was 36 and the other one who was 39. And they were talking about how they were trying to come back to the levels that they had been at. And, you know, it was just funny to me because I was sitting there going, well, you know, I'm sort of like twice your age and I've gone through all of that shit. And, you know, you just need to end up like going easy and getting back rather than trying to go back and beat yourself up and then get pissed off and, you know, quitting doing what you're doing. Yeah. So that's, you know, it sort of like restarted my whole thinking about, you know, where I'm at now in terms of where I've been, you know, 10 years ago.
Yeah. So I think when people reach that phase, it's from my experience, from, I haven't been there myself, but I've been on the pathway of it. And from experience coaching people, what I tend to see when they reach that burnout phase, they prioritize one thing that they chase and deprioritize other things in their life to achieve whatever they're trying to push for, whatever that is.
Yeah.
So when I see things like that, what tends to happen, and especially working with some high level clients, let's say, they've had to deprioritize potentially family, their spouse, their kids, their health, all of those things to chase financial business success. So if you imagine there's a like an X and a Y axis, right? So you've got time along the bottom and you've got success that goes at the top here. And there's three lines. You've got business and financial success, and you've got health, and you've got family and kids. Typically what's going to happen, if you see a skyrocket in one that goes up very, very quickly in a short time frame, the other two actually flatline here. So they might go up a little bit, but then they have to drop off along the timeline. And this goes up dramatically and this stays low. So they don't go up alongside the business and financial success, let's say, right? And then you've got the other ends of the spectrum where family might be super high and then business success or health, let's say, for example, stays low, right? So they don't focus on those things. So the first thing I have to see is show me what your calendar looks like. Because once I see what your calendar looks like, I can see where you value the most, where you spend your most time. And it's not to say you have to deprioritize one. All we have to look at is how can we manage all of those and take them up sequentially together? But it might just take a longer period for you to hit whatever the outcome, let's say it's a financial and business goal, it might take a little bit longer for that. So if somebody says to me, I value my kids, I value my family, I value my health, and I see their calendar and I see that they don't spend time with their kids or their partner, they don't prioritize time in the gym and workouts, and all they do is spend time at work, staying up late, doing what they got to do, and all of this is down here, then those values aren't matching. or it's just you don't know how to sequentially build it all in together. And what happens, because you're trying to hit that goal in a short time frame and you're going, you're going to reach burnout pretty quick because your health is down.
Yep.
You don't feel satisfied with life, and you're chasing this number to try and put happiness elsewhere. And you keep chasing, thinking that's the dream. And all of a sudden you've got a big, big gap and you don't know how to get it back. So that's where burnout comes up that I've seen the most in coaching people. So what I tend to try and look at is, one, show me the calendar first. If those values are really, really high for you in terms of your health and your family, we have to realign that and show you how to bring your fitness training up, spending time with your family along the week and prioritizing that to a certain extent. And it just might take you a little bit longer now to finally achieve that financial success you've had or your business success you need. But for the most part, people may have had that already and they just don't know how to work this out. They bring their family back in and their health back in. Their family might be there for all intents and purposes, but it might be just bringing their health back into check, because that's been the biggest drop they've had to make to drive up the success they've been chasing elsewhere. So it's just that burnout. Burnout comes in when your health doesn't match and your body's just not functioning correctly.
Yeah.
Because you can't handle that type of stress. So that's what I see with burnout a lot, right? Now, does that make sense? Did that X and Y graph try it? Like, I know I haven't got a visual here to see it, but you can imagine the time duration, boom, trying to do that quick. When if you extend that timeline out a little bit more, you could probably work on your health and your family and still meet your financial goals, but it just might take you a little bit longer because you're prioritizing all these things that are important to you, you know? And it's being setting expectations and being realistic around it. And that could be other things. So Paul might have something different in terms of a business goal. It might not be a business goal or a financial goal. It might be something else that he values more that's going to bring him fullness in his life, right? So it depends what that is unique to you, but it's looking at where your values are and prioritizing those and making sure you can fit all of those in and have an expected timeline on when you're going to achieve all of those things and what fulfills you in life, right? So calendar's key. Then we can drop the burnout based off how we're going to set that up, right? So how we set it up, there's only six ways we can influence how the body functions to perform. Just six ways. Six ways. So if we think about it, we've got how I move. So that's training. How I eat. That's nutrition. How I sleep. How I'm going to recover. How I breathe. You could factor that into recovery as well. How I talk. So my self-talk and how I communicate with others as well. That can be a stressor on its own. That could be a mental stressor in your head, the way you talk about yourself, the way you think about yourself, right? That's a stressful situation too. And then the environment that you put yourself in. So that's six. How you move, training, how you eat, how you sleep, how you breathe, how you talk in your environment. Right now, out of all of those six, which one would you say would be your biggest bottleneck?
Sorry, biggest what?
Biggest bottleneck, biggest roadblock for you right now.
Oh, bottleneck, okay. Well, for me, it's nutrition more than anything, just because I like, you know, dealing with my wife's health and all of that. And it just kind of like comes down to like trying to make sure that she gets everything she needs. And I sort of like, you know, don't take into account as much as I should what I need, you know, but that's, and that, you know, kind of.
I'm going to have to, I know we spoke, I've got Phoebe looking for the 7-minute meals. That's what I think she's got someone on the task already. So we're going to be posting those videos. They are looking for them. They are filmed. You actually watch Ben cooking for 7 minutes. It's about five or six different meals.
So ready for that.
But. Well, in terms of prioritizing, like meal prepping, those types of things, I actually do this myself because sometimes my kids don't want to eat chicken and arugula and beetroot every night, because I'll do the same thing every night, man. Like, I'm like a robot when it comes to that type of stuff because it's simple. I'm going to think about it. I know exactly how long it takes. Like I said before on the previous call that I did, it was like getting all the base nutrition pre-cooked already. So it's already in the fridge. And it's just taking me 7 minutes, 5-10 minutes max to fry up or saute up whatever meat or fish that I'm going to use for that night. And I just keep it simple. That's it. So sometimes I'm doing some pasta or something like that for my kids, and then bang, I've got the chicken going on, and I'm prepping that stuff there. So I've had experience in like restaurants and coffee bars. I used to own a coffee bar when I was younger. So I've got experience multitasking on different things like that. But it just takes practice, man. It takes time. And just starting with one meal that you know you can do efficiently really, really quick. And then just doing that every day. And then the rest you can sort of manage for your wife and so forth. So just that, if it's that evening meal, just keep it the same every day. Like, don't even think about it. Cook it the same. No, it can be boring. It can be monotonous. But the faster you get at making that, the more different meals you can bring in place, right? Yeah. So wait for those 7-minute meals. They're super, to be fair, they're super tasty and they're super quick. So I'll chase up Phoebe on where those videos are. So we'll post them in the group for you. So anybody else out of those six? So nutrition was Lewis's biggest bottleneck out of those six. Any others do you think before we move on to anybody else? Any more in that six that you feel, Lewis, apart from nutrition?
Well, and that's really my, you know, it's sort of like it's the one thing that I don't feel like I've got as much control over as I would like to. Yeah. I mean, the other thing is like getting to the gym, doing the workouts, doing the, you know, it's like getting the sleep, you know, I mean, occasionally I'll end up like staying up late just because I want to get other stuff done.
Yeah.
And, you know, the day's gotten away from me kind of thing. But that's not something where I regularly feel like I'm struggling with. That's like my choice.
Yeah. You
know, when it happens. So
nutrition's the biggest roadblock. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good man. Paul, how about yourself?
I guess I'd have to say either nutrition or talk for me.
Nutrition or talking? Or
yeah.
Talk, yeah.
Yeah.
Tell me more about that.
Well, just talking, I tend to be pretty critical. It's kind of why I'm reserved. Pretty direct too. So I don't really beat around the bush, and it gets come off pretty harsh at times.
Okay.
And just learning to temper that.
You get to the point very, very quick, man. It's easy to put then, you know?
Yeah, but not everyone can handle it. Especially when you call them a turd or a butt munch.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
So you mean in your communication with others or the way you talk to yourself as well?
Kind of both, I guess.
Both. So you're critical of yourself?
Yeah. Yeah.
What ways are you most critical of yourself?
In terms of training, when I can't do like what I did the previous week, insecurity, squat depth at this point. Because I still can't figure that out. But just in a general sense, if I don't do as well as I thought I did, just analyzing what went wrong, trying to figure out where it could go or could do better with that.
Okay. Tell me about your squat depth. You can't reach the squat on your back squat or your front squat?
Back squat. Pretty much every other squat, it's fine. But when moving up to heavier weights, I don't go down far enough.
Yeah.
To the point where past call, Coach Andrew Flau told me to reduce weight until he signs off and I can actually reliably get there.
Yeah. So if your depth is there and then you increase the weight and the depth goes away, what would you feel that is?
With that, I'd say it's more confidence, because after a certain point, you have to increase the force and, or force by like disproportionate amount, I feel like, or I think. And my brain's just like, no.
Yeah. It could be a confidence thing. So you have to remember, for that recruitment, this is the sender command that drives the signal down to the motor units to recruit the muscle fibers. So it could be a fear thing, which is stopping you, for sure. But it could also be a nervous system thing where you've exceeded your limit to hit that depth. If the body can't shoot that down, it's like too heavy. It's never sensed that range of motion with that load. You might not be stable enough to generate force in that deep position. So it's going, I can't tolerate this. So as you're going down and you're going into that squat, remember there's proprioceptors at the joints and then the muscle that actually stretch the muscle spindles and Golgi tendon organs that actually stretch out and they send signals back to the brain. So they're sending like the relative tension and their ability to control this movement. So they send that signal back to the brain and they might be going, this is past our tolerable limit right now. So the brain goes, nope, that's it. That's all you're doing. So that doesn't mean that you're never going to be able to do it. All that means is at this point in time, I'm going to have to reduce the load. And now I've got other things that I can work on in that range, because you know you've been in that range, but just with a lighter load. So all we're going to look at now is, well, how else am I going to get the overload in this position? So now it's just time in that position to create stability. And it might take a few weeks, but if you went down full depth on 10 pounds less and you could hit that depth, what if I kept you there for 6 to 8 reps for 2 seconds hold at the bottom every rep? But now that's a different ball game. Like now your Golgi tendon organs, because your tendons are going to stretch. They're going to be in that stretch position. The muscle spindles have to stretch, and they're sensing that tension. They're going, okay, I'm on my limits here, but how do you train that limit? You spend time there. So 2 seconds every rep. Week one, do it. Session two of the week, do it again. So the more frequency you can get into that, the more that muscle spindle, the Golgi tendon organ, the joints are sensing more stability and the muscles can contract efficiently and produce force out of that position. All of a sudden, 3 weeks down the line, you spent time for 2 seconds. You could take that to 4 seconds, or you could hold 2 seconds and go to 10 to 12 reps. So you're still getting that overload, that progressive overload. You go back to 4 or 5 reps now, add that 10 pound weight, and all of a sudden it's like, whoa, this is okay. I can hit the depth. So it's just working backwards. That's why probably Andrew's going to drop the load a little bit. He might be probably bringing some time in that position for you to factor those two things in. That's all it is. So when we're looking at that, like if you understand logically what's going on, now you're not as critical, because it's logical, right? It's like, oh, it's just my muscle spindles or my joints that can't handle the stability in this position because my nervous system can't handle it yet. How do I get better at it? I have to train it. Then it's logical. Makes sense? So there's a progression to it. You just know that this is something I have to work on right now. That makes sense?
Yep.
So in terms of training and being critical of yourself in training, try and think of it as analyze it as, this is a problem I have to solve right now that's going to make me better further down the line. That's it. There's no two ways around it. You're going to get stronger for sure. Just sometimes we have to take a step back to take 2 steps forward and probably work on something that you need in your program anyway. Because if that's a limitation, you only chase load on the bar and keep progressing load and load and load, you're going to break. You'll break fast because your joints have to sense different contractions as well. Your muscles have to sense different contractions as well, right? Your muscles go through eccentric contraction, concentric contraction, isometrics. So I find from experience in coaching, I have to train you with all of those different contractions with different loads, with different reps, right? So that's why spending time in the bottom of that squat, if you can hold that isometrically, technically you should be able to hold more load or tolerate more load in an isometric contraction than a contraction with the concentric. So the shortening of the muscle, right? So concentric is when the muscle shortens, isometric is when the muscle doesn't move and you can hold the tension. And eccentric is when the muscle lengthens, right? So you should be stronger in your isometric and your eccentric even stronger than the isometric. So it's about 110, 115% of concentric in your isometric. And you can be up to 125 to 150 sometimes percent, 150% stronger in your eccentric than your concentric. So if that's out of balance and you're weaker there, then the body isn't going to go to places you feel you could go, because you have to bring up the strength in those different contractions as well and start to balance those out a little bit, right? So sometimes, yeah, spend a little bit of time in the bottom squat and with a slightly lighter load. Because I show you muscle count, man, you've got the range to do it. So it's just a strength thing. Just a strength thing.
Good thing to keep saying.
Keep working, man. Keep working. Send some videos in the group, bro. You send some cracking photos on a Saturday morning. Big smile after that challenge workouts. Which John, by the way, I'll put the video in early this week. So John can do it on a Friday morning. I'll put that in early this week, John. Okay. Top man. Yeah, so navigate it that way, Paul. Okay. Thanks for sharing, brother.
Okay.
John, how about yourself, man?
In terms of exercise or
out of those six. So out of those six, the ways we can affect the body and get the body to do what we want it to do. There's only six ways to interact with the human system. So it's how we eat, how we move, how we sleep, how we breathe, how we talk. So that's communicating our own minds or communicating with others, and the environment around us. So that's, that could be, have I got lots of carpet in my house? Am I living on in an area that's like loads of pollution coming into my house or whatever it is, you know? So things like that in the environment.
I've been working on getting a little better sleep. It's like I get stuck like around 7.5. But I got the Swannies you told me to get. That's helped.
How long have you had them now?
I got them like 2 weeks after muscle camp.
Yep.
And then I just have to remember, sometimes I just have to remember when I've got an evening job is to pack them so I can wear them when I'm driving home.
Yep. So do you wear them when you're driving home in the evening?
I've done that. The white just turns yellow.
Yeah. Oh, you got the yellow ones, yeah?
Yeah, I got the ones that go over my prescription.
Beauty. Good. And you've noticed a pickup in your sleep quality since using them for a while?
For the most part, I've had a couple days that were lower, but for the most part, I think it's better.
Yeah, man. You feeling more refreshed when you wake up?
I think so.
Are you measuring sleep in any way?
I measure it through a Garmin.
Okay.
So I always, the week I started using them, my sleep score went up by 5 to 10 points.
Nice.
And I've had a couple lower scores in the last week, but then it jumps right back up.
What do you feel brought those scores down? Was anything specific?
I don't know whether part of it's the stress of what's going on at home with the dog.
Potentially, yeah.
Or, yeah, I haven't done a good enough job of like this last week. Sometimes I'm not wearing the glasses because it's been a. But as I said, if it goes down, it jumps right back up, and it might be just recovery.
No, mate. To be fair, man, if anybody else on the call hasn't used them, I should be wearing them tonight. To be fair, but I've left them in my gym today, so I forgot to bring them out. So I normally wear my blue light blockers later in the evenings. So anywhere from like 7, 8 p.m. onwards, if I'm going to be using anything on the laptop or watching TV or anything like that, then I'll typically put them on, and it just helps you, just helps that melatonin come back up a little bit more. So blue light's going to block melatonin function for sure, so it helps that melatonin come up and get that signal to go to sleep, and then obviously you can get into a lot deeper sleep from there. And I'm feeling a little bit more wired tonight anyway, because I came back from New York yesterday, so I'm all over the place at the minute after a long travel trip, jet lag. So I should have them on though, but I'll see how my sleep goes tonight. But they can be a game changer. So if you're struggling with sleep at all, I would recommend blue light blockers if you're going to be using your laptops or anything like that later on in the day. But that seems to be good. That seems to be improving for you though, John. Yeah, since you've used those.
Yeah.
Anything else you feel at the minute would be a real, because you're pretty switched on with it, like training wise, nutrition wise, everything's moving pretty well.
I think that's all going well.
So you get 7.5 hours sleep and getting good deep sleep with that as well?
For the most part. I mean, I had one day where I was asleep for 7.5, but I only had 51 minutes of deep sleep. And it said that my stress was poor.
Poorer than normal. If you're looking like one day here and there,
yeah, this, yeah, I hadn't realized that it wants my stress to be down by 15, down to the number 15 when I'm asleep, and I don't think it ever gets down that far. I average the day kind of like in the 20, high 20s.
Yeah. So just remember as well, like the things that we're measuring these tools on, this is for everybody on the call too. They're not going to be 100% accurate all the time. So sometimes I measure both. Sometimes I'll have the Apple Watch on. I've got the Oura Ring as well. find the Oura Ring is very accurate for sleep, a lot more. The Apple Watch is a little bit hit and miss, so I don't wear them every night, by the way. Like, I'm not full of gadgets. But I find the Apple Watch can be out. Now, we have to consider too with sleep. If you don't, I'm not sure whether you've highlighted this on your genetics, John, at all with Greg. If you've done your genetics, I think you have.
We've done genetics.
Yeah, so for myself, you'll notice there's one genetic SNP that's predisposed you to more movement when you sleep. So I tend to move a lot. So I have that SNP myself. So I tend to move a lot. So I'll sleep like a little mouse. I don't make a sound, but sometimes I'll move quite a lot. So even though I'm getting good quality sleep, because I'm moving doesn't mean I'm not technically in full deep sleep where I'm getting like, where I can't move my body type of thing, but my sleep's pretty good and I feel refreshed when I wake up, right? So my deep sleep can be still in a good amount for the whole night. Whereas if I move a little bit, especially with something like an Apple Watch, that dramatically decreases my deep sleep.
And it can be off,
right? So things like that can take into consideration, but the determining factor I use is I use it as a trend and see the total sleep over time, obviously deep sleep too, and REM sleep also. But I'm always going on how I feel for that day as well. Because like sometimes I'll wake up and it's like, it's giving me 20 minutes of deep sleep. I'm like, no way, I feel unbelievable today. There's no way I've got 20 minutes deep sleep. Do you know what I mean? So always take into consideration, are you energized when you wake up? Do you feel refreshed? Could you like go out and train in the next 20 minutes? Like if you're feeling groggy and you've got head, like brain fog and you're not energized and okay, yeah, you didn't sleep very well at that point if those things are coming out. But if you feel good, man, like you got a good, decent sleep.
And I was more worn out or more before the muscle camp, but my numbers all went up afterwards in terms of better HRV, better recovery. It was amazing how that happened right in the middle of muscle camp.
You're on the right people, man. You brought it out of you. Good, bro. And you have to remember as well, sometimes with HRV, you have to push the parameters in terms of like heart rate zones. And like, John, you'll know this well as anybody. You've been tracking your heart rates quite a lot. You're very fit and you know your stuff in terms of the education you've done too. So looking at like sometimes just doing zone two work might not be enough to work on your HRV. Sometimes you have to push that heart rate up a little bit more because your max heart rate and your resting heart rate. So your max heart rate needs to be as high as possible and your resting heart rate needs to be as low as possible so you can increase your VO2 max. Now, typically once your VO2 max is pretty good and sustainable and substantial, your HRV is great because your resting heart rate is super low. So yes, you do have to train zone two, but you also have to train your VO2 max. So you have to take the heart rate up a little bit more. And sometimes you might have to work some zone three for extended periods where you're pushing 20, 30 minutes in that zone three to four. And also sometimes you might have to do zone one, 1.5, right? So think about parasympathetic work to bring that resting heart rate down as much as possible, right? So Lewis at the moment, potentially got a lot on his plate, right? Stressed out quite a lot with what's going on with his wife. He's taking care of his wife. He's being a great husband. He's doing multiple cooking sessions by the sound of it. He's turning into this exquisite chef, or he will be after we get him the 7-minute meals. But that might be a lot of stress for Lewis, right? So sometimes you might have to put some more parasympathetic stuff in there for him. So yes, going to the gym and crushing the workouts, you still might want to do that and lift as heavy as you can and get strong and keep all your muscle and so forth. But it might be that we can get away with that 2 to 3 times a week while stress is high. And we might put more walking based stuff into his day so he can get out and just be in his own head for a little bit and have more parasympathetic activity where he's using more fat for fuel in those moments to bring his heart rate down. Right. So we can manifest the week a little bit more based off the season you're currently in. So if you constantly do that, if we go back to what the topic's about today, burnout, 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 right? If we're constantly stressed and we put in stress on top of stress on top of stress, that's burnout. You are going to burn out. There's only so much you can handle. So when we're looking at functional capacity, I'm looking at what you can handle right now. I'm going to strip back a little bit and I'm going to push the walls away from me and build your capacity up. But the angle that you go at depends on what you can tolerate right now, right? So if you're already at your limits here, and I put a high intensity weight training session on top of you, that's a stressful session on top of a lot of stress that you're near peak anyway. That's not going to be what you need. What you might need is like pull that stress down from where it is in the week. Let's say you're doing a push-pull legs 5 day a week split, high intensity work, top set, you're going all out for hypertrophy and mechanical tension. Well, shit, I might have to pull two of those sessions away and do three full body sessions a week. I can still build muscle with three sessions a week. But now I've got the opportunity to do more parasympathetic work, just calm your nervous system down, more breath work, more meditation. All of a sudden you've got that room. So now your heart rate can come down a little bit. You're not maxed out in your heart rate all the time. You can decompress a little bit, and all of a sudden you do that for a few weeks. Boom, your blood pressure drops, and all of a sudden you can push a little bit more when we pull you back to that type of stuff. Right? So we have to think about what we can and can't pull it in different moments, and what we need to work on to improve VO2 max or HRV or whatever it needs to be. Right? That makes sense. Good. And then, and some people too with HRV, this might be highlighted on genetics as well. Some people trend with lower HRV genetically.
That's what Greg says I have.
So I'm the same. So you'll notice on Apple Watch and on Aura is pretty much the same for me. A top HRV for me might be about 45 to 50. So if I measure, I've actually measured that on Elite HRV, which is probably the most accurate one when you use the Polar Heart Strap. When I measured 45 to 50, that was about 75 on the Elite HRV, which is pretty 75 to 80 on the Elite HRV app with the Polar Heart Strap. That was less like spot on HRV. But that number was 45 to 50 on the Oura Ring and the Apple Watch. But I tend to trend lower genetically anyway. Right. So those types of things, that it might just be a different number for you, and you're at the top of that HRV zone for you. Right. So it doesn't mean we can't push it. You can definitely push a little bit more, but we might have to look at different training modalities to do that. More parasympathetic tone work, vagus nerve work, things like that to bring that up a little bit more.
My VO2 max is, Mark Garand has it superior for my age, but I have some pretty good markers.
So if longevity is a factor there, John, and it's superior for your age, I'd encourage you to think of having that goal as superior for your age 10 years younger. That's the goal. Do you know what I'm saying? So if we think about that as we age, typically like we want to be working on superior numbers that are 10 to 15 years younger.
It has my biological age is about 15 years younger than what I am, but
Perfect. Keep it there as long as possible, brother. Keep it there as long as possible. Yeah, VO2 max is a great one, bro. Like my man, like if you can keep that VO2 max at a good level, like elite level, 10 years younger than where you are, you're gonna be cooking, man. Like that's great work. So always, I'd encourage you to always keep that goal in mind. Lewis as well. Like shoot for that VO2 max goal. Obviously, we got muscle. We don't want to be getting sarcopenia or anything like that. We want to be keeping as much muscle mass as we can. So strategize in the week where you can recover very, very well, for sure. Recovery is key. You're sleeping well, but you can push and build muscle and hold on to muscle. You're driving your VO2 max really well. Aerobic conditioning. That's going to help with intramuscular fat, getting good intramuscular fat down. It's going to be working a lot with insulin sensitivity, metabolic function. Obviously, ability to breathe mitochondrial wise is going to be fantastic as well. So yeah, I would definitely encourage you to think of like VO2 max goals and setting those into your KPIs. Okay, Greg, on those few boys. I'll make sure I message Greg tomorrow morning and say, right, you got some new numbers to shoot for John and Lewis. Get it going. I've told them they need to be 15 to 20 years younger on their VO2 max at an elite level. I'm going to test Greg's programming skills now. And that, Paul, I'd encourage you as well, man, because you're in a like a strength zone as well. Like you're pushing strength and trying to bring up those numbers. Recovery might be a limitation for you as well, right? So you have to remember you've got the prime muscle fibers that you're training for that low, for the low rep, for the strength stuff. They're more alactic muscle fibers. Whereas when you're looking at like hypertrophy and endurance-based fibers, they're more glycolytic, so they're using more metabolic processes, right? But remember, as you're resting, when you're doing your powerlifting, strength work, whatever it is, the recovery comes from the glycolytic system. So if that glycolytic system's poor, it's not giving enough energy back to the nervous system or even the muscle cells around the muscles as well. So you have to replenish that. So if you're not functioning very well and your conditioning level's pretty low, you might not recover enough to output at the same level on your next set, for example, for heavy lifts. So recovery still comes into that too. So it's not to say you've got to go out doing marathons or anything like that, but some kind of conditioning work through the week can help with recovery in between sets for strength work as well. So looking on those components. So for you, if you're working more alactic work in your strength work, you can just back off a little bit, not too much heavy lactic acid work, but aerobic power work might help you a little bit because you're still pushing some intensity on the cardio kit that you're going to use. It can be short duration and you're going to bring up your VO2 max like pretty well. It can be short duration work. Like it only has to be 12 minutes. Like 12 minutes of hard, it's going to be hard work, but 12 minutes, that's all it needs to take. And you're in and out, like done. It's not like long 60 to 90 minutes zone two work, which again, some people need, but depends on how much you need. If you want to do it fast, the fastest I've seen somebody improve low resting heart rate improvements in blood pressure, the fastest they did 5 days a week, 90 minutes of zone two every day. That was like it came down fast, but you just open up the vascular network very, very quickly at that type of level. But they were doing it for a specific goal and a reason, and they had time to commit to that as well because they were still doing weight training on top. But to push that type of level, that's a lot of time commitment. 90 minutes a day on a bike, damn, like their ass must have been like made of steel at that point, or they had cushions on the seat. But yeah, to take a look with Andrew as well, see if there's any conditioning energy systems you need to help with recovery in between sets. And make sure you're spending time in the bottom of that squat for me. I want some feedback next week on how you're feeling on it, okay? Beautiful boys. Let's see what else. Vihar's definitely working for sure. Mats is listening to my sexy Welsh voice in the background. I feel a little bit husky from my flight. Still not recovered from it enough, but here we go. Boys, that's it for tonight. I hope that's hope that's given you some value. Think about that going into next week. So I want you, and Paul, you're gonna speak to Andrew, obviously, with your stuff.